Amen. Amen. Praise God. And without wasting much of our time, I want to bring up our father, Apostle Arume Osai, who... Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We thank you because you manifested your sovereign grace on our lives in a time of recovery. And I ask, O God, that you open the understanding of all our brethren seated before you to understand the recovery work that your spirit is involved with in this end time that will culminate in the rise of a strategic kingdom army. That we recover grounds that have been conceded to the enemy, territories that the kingdom of darkness governs on the account of the fact that the army has not yet risen. Cause our ears to hear, cause our hearts to understand, and may your name be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. God bless you real good. Hallelujah. Well, the burden of this weekend, I'm not sure we can fully prosecute the burden of the weekend. But we'll attempt to provide some perspective as we advance. Turn your Bible to the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. It's a great burden. I was hoping we will touch this subject much later, but if the Holy Ghost is saying that this is the right time, then we will begin. See, the Lord is, well, alright, let me hold that. Acts chapter 1, we'll do Bible study for 25 minutes, for 35 minutes. Then we'll begin to pray. The former three times have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after through the Holy Ghost he had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. I would like you to underline that. It's critical. Underline speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. That's a major pivot. It's a major pivot of consideration on the subject matter. Verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they were therefore come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Jump to verse chapter 2. Chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41, the Bible says, and they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many signs and wonders were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things in common. We'll stop there for now. I want to lay a foundation, then we'll progress to check a few things as God will help us in the name of Jesus Christ. If you are still here, say amen. Hallelujah. Now, first thing I would like us to note is that after Jesus had fully satisfied the claims of divine justice, if you follow the sequence of spiritual demand, you will understand that the high place of the ministry of Jesus was in the sacrificing of himself to satisfy the claims of divine justice. So upon satisfying the claims of divine justice, his assignment was accomplished. And that sacrifice of his was accepted in the heavenlies. And so the purpose for which he came was fully accomplished. However, after the Lord's resurrection, he ascended into the heavens and took permission. He took a casual leave of 40 days, because the church had to be given shape, content, strategy, context, operational modality. All of these dimensions had not yet been built. And so he secured 40 days of casual leave to come back to visit with the apostles, even though the claims of divine justice had been satisfied. That's what Acts chapter 1 said. I would like you to follow it. We need 14 days of teaching to fully arrest the subject that we are attempting to consider. But still, come with me. I want to prove that first before we go on. That's verse 3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, after his suffering, he had accomplished salvation. But these apostles saw him post resurrection. He showed himself alive after his suffering. And the way he showed himself alive was by infallible proofs. And then the Bible says, when they were now convinced that he was the one, because he had to prove to them to show himself alive. And the way he did that was by infallible proofs. It means there were many more miracles that Jesus did that were not documented in the scriptures. He did those miracles to convince the people that would take on the baton from him about the fact that he actually resurrected. And so there were many infallible proofs that he brought on the table just to convince the apostles that he was alive. When they were brought to that point of conviction about his resurrection, that death indeed has no power over him, when that was secured, the Bible says he began a 40-day lecture. The 40-day lecture that Jesus gave formed what we call apostolic technology. And at any point in time that the church in any generation begins to deviate from those pillars, that Jesus had to take 40 days of casual leave from heaven in order for him to establish in the earth as the operating system that will govern the strategies, the outlook, and the workability of the church at any point in time that there's a deviation from that. What we have will be short of the ecclesia. If what Jesus did in those 40 days were not important, heaven would not have released him to come, because he had fulfilled the claims of divine justice. And now God had the right of way and the necessary legality to begin to implement his purpose upon the face of the earth. You will see that the sovereignty of God alone was not sufficient to prosecute his mandate upon the earth. Some form of education had to be installed in all the functionaries so that they will understand the objective and the reason why several strategies will not work in that context. It was a time, 40 days. I know you attend conferences and you attend trainings. Have you ever gone for a training that lasted for 40 days? So it's not the type of training, you know. Just in case you are saying, yeah, we also make do with some training. You have never attended a training for 40 days. Hallelujah. Now, so our attempt this weekend, are you with me, is to find out what formed the manual that Jesus used for 40 days to educate his people in order to set a working, functional church upon the face of the earth. I'm wondering how Jesus was able to accomplish that in just 40 days. Just 40 days. So we are trying to check the entire Bible to find clues as touching the elements that were part of that lecture that was responsible for their approach, their drive, the content of their labors, the content, the disposition of life that they sustained. All of that was captured in the lecture. So we are trying to navigate this, some navigation. Then you will now see what apostolic culture is. Because the fact that the signboard bears something church doesn't make it church. It's not the testimony of the signboard that justifies the fact that it is a church outlet. It's a local expression of the body of Christ. Because the last time I checked, witches too gather. What makes many people gather? In fact, in church, there are gatherings. There are other gatherings that are of the devil. Because people can gather to edge out a pastor, and he's still gathering. Now, in order for us not to operate without reference, we need to catch up the static, rigid, apostolic pillars that Jesus put in place to ensure that his program on earth was not hijacked. Because if we don't understand the labels and the references, we will become utopian. Anything will go. Just like the way people want to make the prophetic office look as if anything can go with the office. You can just come bring coconut, palm oil, and charcoal, and you say it's a prophetic. Whenever any spiritual thing lacks reference, it is already hijacked by the devil. Yes, it no longer has the capacity to reflect the intent of God. And so we need to do a study. And as we do this study, I hope that God will help us in the name of Jesus. Maybe for some of us, your need, you have not reached the point in your walk with God where you need this study yet. For you, you might be in that category where you need to see infallible proofs to convince you that he is alive. There are several people that are in that category, where the Lord will have to do several infallible proofs. He will provide proofs, signs, wonders. Me, I'm convinced already. So I'm ready for a walk with God. So just in case you are not convinced, we'll also check the infallible proof dimension. That's why we teach for 35 minutes. So that we can, because the kingdom of God is not a war. So when you are now convinced that he has resurrected, then you become a candidate for the lecture. Are you with me? When you have, when you run for your miracle, run, and you get the miracle, and you know, okay, the miracle giver is alive. When you are convinced by infallible proofs, then you are now admitted. That is, a man that doesn't have a practical kingdom encounter, a practical Jesus encounter, that is a rubber stamp that proves that he is who he says he is, such a person should not be admitted to this, for this program. It is after there is a conviction that has been furnished on the hearts of believers as touching the fact that he actually defied death. And it has come to you as a revelation that the immortal we are handling here, death has no authority over him. That must be the fundamental premise for admission into the 40-day training program. Are you still with me? Because I don't have time. Are you here? Right. Now, so we are trying to find out what was the content of the 40-day lecture. First of all, before we start finding out, I would like us to do comprehension assessment. Because after the 40 days lecture, there was a comprehension assessment strategy that was adopted. That is in verse 6. See, may the eyes of your understanding be open. Alright? So that you can see the contemporary application of the scriptures. So that the scriptures will not look to you like one of the aged books on the shelf of a library, but it will become spirit bread items that speak more powerfully today than when they were first born. Are you there in verse 6? Because what happened in verse 6, you know, amen. Oh, you are not with me. Hallelujah. You see, I was a classroom teacher for a very long time. Very long time. So I used to teach mathematics, further mathematics, physics, chemistry. I was teaching professionally and teaching the scriptures theologically. Alright? So there's a feedback system. And one of the ways you get a feedback as to whether or not your lectures have been understood is that you throw out some questions. Or you allow your audience, your class, to ask you questions. When you see the kind of questions that they are asking, it will suggest whether or not your lectures actually sank. Now, in Acts chapter 1 verse 6, you are going to see the question that these participants, the questions that they asked Jesus after 40 days of intense training, and this is life training, the technical training. Because the moment you finish this training, you become a practitioner of everything that was taught. It's technical training, not the kind of academic training we have in the ivory towers of our time. Someone has 2-1 in electronics engineering. There was an electrical challenge, and he was asking for an electrician. He got 2-1. He was the best in the class. He missed
first class by the whiskers. And he was totally impotent when a situation that demanded somebody from his field arose. No, it's not that kind of education I'm talking about. I'm talking about hands-on training. The type that you go through, they don't give you a certificate. Because you yourself become the certificate. As you are practicing it, they will know, this is a plumber. Have you heard of certificate of plumbing? No. So it's not that kind of intellectual knowledge that we have been. No, I'm talking about hands-on training. The training that lends itself to practicality. Training that affords you the opportunity and the privilege to be able to reproduce the things you have been taught. Now, it happens to be that after 40 days of lecture, the Lord allowed his audience to give him feedback. Now, the feedback we are seeing is in the question captured in the book of Acts 1, verse 6. What does it say? Acts 1, 6. Hallelujah. In Acts 1, verse 6, the Bible says, and when they were therefore come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? It was a question that came. And notice it was not one person that asked it. It was a class question. When they were therefore come together, they asked. So I don't understand how they... See, everybody's hands was up. So he asked, all right, the way to do it. Oh yeah, all of you talk. It was one question that they asked. That means they filtered Jesus' teaching with this question. This question was in their heart before the lecture started. And they were hoping that as this is the subject of the lecture was things pertaining to the kingdom of God, that he would digress. And he will bring perspective to some matters that were pressing matters of the time. And they saw that he skillfully omitted their body. So it was as if the burden was mounting pressure until a point came where he had to allow them to respond. Or every hand went up. Was it? Will you at what? This time restore the kingdom unto Israel? It was obvious that none of them understood the lecture. Because the question they were asking was a political question, just like someone here might be asking about the destiny of Nigeria. Now, what have you seen about? Hallelujah. What is the post-election vision? Now, I was expecting Jesus to rebuke them. I said, so I wasted my time, took casual leave. And there are many things I could have used the time for. But I decided to spend it with you guys to educate you on these issues. And this is a kind of embarrassment. I was expecting Jesus to... But he used their question to bring another aspect of his lecture. Are you with me? He used their question to bring another aspect of his lecture. First of all, he said, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons. How many of you have an electronic Bible? Anybody with an electronic Bible? I want us to do the job very well. Alright, so you are going to check, you know, it says it's not for you to know the time or the times or the seasons. So I need the Greek word that was used in times there and the Greek word that was used in seasons there before we begin our journey. Okay, times is Chronos, seasons is Kairos. Chronos and Kairos. You see, in the Greek language, we have two words for time. And just like we have four words for power, we have two words for another. We have two words for time. And you know that, you know, so let's not... You are aware of that. I know you are educated biblically enough to know that. But even though you know it, I will remind you, okay? We have two words for time in Greek language. And one is Chronos. And the other one is Kairos. The Chronos time is chronological time. And the Kairos time is the opportune time. You must have seen this scripture. As long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest. You see, there's a demarcation in time. There's a demarcation in time. According to the Greeks, you find out that there is, when you, I don't know how many months, if you plant corn, how many months before it becomes, what? 3 months. So that 3 months is the Kronos time, and the harvest time has a shorter window, maybe 2 weeks. All right? It has a shorter window. So these two demarcations of time are captured within the ideology of time in Greek language. Now, so it doesn't matter how hungry you are. If after 2 weeks of planting corn, you go back to the farm and demand harvest by feet, you will be operating from the standpoint of ignorance. Because when you cast the seed, you cast it into a principle, into a cycle. And that cycle will have to act upon what you have casted. You are no longer in charge of the process. You are no longer in charge of the procedure. It is a cycle, the potential of the cycle that handles, that governs the outcome of your efforts. Are you with me? Now, that cycle has the potential to deliver and to multiply your efforts. That's what harvest is. But there is a time for that harvest that you cannot control. Are you with me? It's just like when a mother conceives. Timing has begun. And that timing is going to be sustained for 9 months. That's the gestation period. There is no miracle you can do to make the child come before the time. All right? And it's not in your power to determine the time. But when the time is accomplished, it will yield. Now, the time where it yields is the Kairos time, according to the Greek people. The time where you need to wait for it, for the process to be accomplished, is the Kronos time. Are you with me? Now, let me take you further. Are you there? Let me take you further and digress. Demons may not contend with you when it's Kronos time. It is when it is Kairos time, because that's when you get a return on investment. And I have scriptures for this. Have you read what Paul said? He said, redeeming the time, the word time there is Kairos. Redeeming the Kairos. Why? Because the days are evil. Evil and darkness will mitigate against your Kairos season. Because that's where the impact of all your efforts will be found. Have you read your Bible in the book of Joel chapter 2 from verse 25? The Bible says, and I will restore to you the years that what? The caterpillar, cankerworm, the palmer worm, and the locust has eaten. Now, oh my, no need to push you further. You understand what I'm talking about. Now, Jesus said it is not for you to know the Kronos or the Kairos which God has set in his own authority. Are you here? That means God has a calendar. And in that is calendar, is the one that determines what is Kronos and what is Kairos. And that his own calendar happens to be different from our own human calendar. Are you here? You are not here. Do you still remember that scripture? Jesus says, yet, ye say, yet, 4 months, and then the harvest. That is in your own human time. It takes 4 months before Kairos. You get that? Just like in Nigeria, it takes 4 years before election. And that's, Jesus said, that's what you say. You see, so if a wrong leader is elected in this election now, Jesus will come and say, you say, yet 4 years, and then what? Election. But he said, lift up now, not 4 years. He said, lift up what? Now thy eyes. And see, what he was saying was, remove your eyes from the human calendar. In God's own calendar, the fields are white.
That means, you're not with me. Hallelujah.
You know, the context of that scripture is Israel. And in Israel, after the wheat harvest, if you don't harvest your wheat early enough, the winter will come. Okay? So when Jesus was saying that the fields are white unto harvest, it means that the people never knew that there was a Kairos season in God's own calendar, to the end that the winter, because if the winter comes upon your wheat farm is destroyed. It means you have, your Kairos moment is limited. Oh my. How did I get here? Now, so Jesus said, lift up now thy eyes. Don't look at your human calendar anymore. See God's calendar. And in God's calendar, the fields are already white. That means the end of the Kairos season is almost here. Meanwhile, in the natural calendar, they were saying, oh, yet 4 months, and then they have it. It means that, are you here? It means that there are times where there is a purpose that God wants to execute upon the face of the earth, and the human scope of Chronos and Kairos cannot accommodate it. And so what he does is that he superimposes the wheel of his own calendar on our own calendar and begins the numbering system afresh, even though it is not time. You didn't get it. Let me give you this thing I just said now will happen in this election. The result of this election is not in the election. After the elections are finished, and people are struggling for the result, and the struggle will be for long. May you not be caught up in the crossfire of the struggle. Then, a Kairos season consistent with the calendar of heaven will come, and it will not take 4 years before another numbering system will be established. So that's my parable. Now, may the Lord give you understanding. If you understand what I'm saying, well, all right. Now, so what was it? Are you with me? So, and that doesn't matter who you vote. You can vote anybody. I heard that you people joined line to collect PVC, and they even sent a text message that it will still continue as much as possible. Get it? But heaven is going to intervene on this process this time. All right. So it doesn't matter what you do or what you don't do, but God will help us in the name of Jesus. Meanwhile, for your information, it's the person you don't like that will win. Okay, I just the one you don't like at all, that one will win. Don't ask me, did he win well? Did he properly? What will be announced will be that one. And a lot of turbulence will take place, and there will be crossfires. We are going to pray a prayer to capture that window. Are you here? So Jesus took the advantage of the question that they asked that was out of context. The question was a political question. And the subject of the teaching was what? The kingdom of God. And the purpose for the lecture was to train functionaries that could extend the frontiers of the kingdom of God upon the face of the earth. That was the context. Are you still with me? But the question came out of sync. Jesus said, well, you are not aware that heaven has its own calendar. And the calendar is superintended by the authority of God. So it is not for you to know that the deliverance of your people is captured in that calendar, and in the fullness of the time consistent with that calendar, it will manifest. And there's nothing you can do about it. You can't pray to change it. It's already fixed in that calendar. However, your own portion in this kingdom advancement agenda, for which I came to lecture you for 40 days, you are asking what is in God's portion, God's sovereign will, come back home. It's not for you to know that, but there's something I did not say in my lecture. I was expecting somebody to pick it. Nobody picked it. You're asking political questions. It's not connected to my lecture. What is connected to my lecture that I omitted deliberately is that there's an allocation of power on your life. Because you cannot prosecute kingdom duties without power. So there's an allocation of power. It is that power that will energize you
give you the competence, the enablement to become a kingdom functionary. How I wish I had the time to build this thing from the book of Genesis. But it's just because there's no time. I would have shown you that Adam was created a kingdom functionary. And that is where the dominion mandate was given to him. It was consistent with his kingdom role. But see, we lost all that. And Jesus was trying to reinstitute that initial purpose of God. And when he came back, he said there is an allocation of power that will be given unto us. These are basics. I've not started the job. These are basics. I'm trying to take us through the basics. Somebody in this congregation thinks that what I mean when I said ye shall receive power is that ye shall speak in tongues. That's what somebody in this hall thinks. And for a long time in the body of Christ, many of us have thought that what Jesus gave us, for which he expects us to fulfill our kingdom mandate, is the ability to speak in tongues. Did I miss you? Okay. It is not written anywhere in your Bible that the proof that you have received the Holy Ghost is that you speak in tongues. Show me one scripture. If I ask you to show me what you, the best you can do, to show me an example of somebody that received the Holy Ghost and the person spoke in tongues. Yeah, you show me five times. There are five such examples that you show me. Right? But you cannot show me from the Bible where it is written black and white that the evidence that you received the Holy Ghost is that what? You spoke in tongues. Think about that. Have you thought about that before? I'm not saying your doctrine is wrong. If you say that speaking in tongues is an initial evidence that you have filled the Holy Ghost, you are okay. I'm not saying it's wrong, but I'm challenging you. Jesus did not say you receive tongues. Jesus said what? The proof that you have received the Holy Ghost is that you have a distinct enablement in the area of your own calling that will enable you and give you the capacity to extend the frontiers of the kingdom of God. Now, so see, the average believer, because of a wrong understanding, has held on to speaking in tongues, and we lack that power that should be the result is not available. Okay, you are not with me. I will explain, don't worry. What is power? Power is what? Ability. Okay, in physics, power is ability to do work. Okay, yes. I'm hearing you. Okay, he's saying Christ Jesus is the ability to overcome the powers of darkness. I like your answer, but it's not correct. What is power? It's the ability to, in physics, let's start with physics. The ability to do work. That means, if I receive power, I have a distinct ability to perform a task. Is that true? And that is supposed to be the evidence that you have received the Holy Ghost. Because someone that has not been galvanized by the Holy Ghost should not have any such ability. So we reckon with power in terms of ability. And when you see the life of Paul, are you still with me? See the life of Paul of Tarsus. We have not started teaching. I'm just trying to bring us back. Hey, I didn't bring my watch. Jesus. It means it will be long. I'm trying to bring us back. Before we start, when we start, you will find out, you at some point you might ask if you have been in church all this while. So don't be in a hurry. When Paul gave his life to Christ, he fasted dry fasting for 3 days. Did not eat. He was overwhelmed by his encounter. That food and the appetite for food died. He was in communion and he was in prayer when Ananias saw Jesus, received instruction from Jesus and came to him, prayed for him.
He received his sight. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. Right? Go and study Paul's account very well. Paul was not discipled. I'm not recommending his model. I'm just telling you what is in the Bible. Paul was not discipled by anybody. In fact, the moment he got filled with the Holy Ghost, what he did, he tried attending church. The fire burning in him, he couldn't find ventilation for it in church. So he went on honeymoon with Jesus 3.5 years in the wilderness of Arabia. I know that's not your own salvation experience. You gave your life to Christ and then joined choir. Paul went to Arabia for 3.5 years because he wanted to understand the purpose of that encounter. The Lord of the universe encountered him in Malta. He took his bag. In fact, it was because of the potency of that encounter, he left marriage behind. And that was the depth of work that was done on his heart. And he went to Arabia for 3.5 years. He came back a Colossus. Full perfect understanding was granted unto him in Arabia. Then he came back. When he came back, he knew his mission. He understood from heaven. You know, I was hearing Pastor Benny lead prayer. And he used that scripture in the book of Revelation chapter 4. That after these things, behold, a door was opened in heaven. You see, that was how it was in the days when Paul came back from the wilderness. There was a policy in heaven that God wanted to extend his kingdom and infiltrate the colonies of the Gentiles. And the first martyr that policy was revealed to happened to be Peter in the book of Acts chapter 9 when he went to the housetop to pray. Are you still with me? But it happens to be that when Peter was on the housetop and he saw that vision, and he understood the meaning of the vision, that God wanted to enter into territories that are uncovenanted territories and make them part of the commonwealth of Israel. You know what he said? He said, "Not so, Lord." That means he was counseling God. He knew it was the Lord, though, but he said, "Not so, not so." That was the shape, the limitation of his wineskin. And God knew that if he committed the gospel to the Gentiles, to that man, it won't reach your village. There was an innate internal hindrance or barricade built that will make it not to reach Gombe. It won't reach your village. So God evaluated him and put him aside. There are two actors in the book of Acts of the Apostles. One is Peter. And Peter's end came that day. And surprisingly, it was the same time that Paul was coming from Arabia. So Paul was commissioned and given the mission to the Gentiles. Are you with me? What Paul did in one generation, even Satan never knew it was possible. Because at the time that Paul was called to become an active apostle, Christianity was infiltrated by Judaism. I don't have time to do the lectures to go from. I would have shown you a doctrinal council meeting. They sat in a council to decide what was doctrine, what was the customs of the church and all of that. If you check the customs, you will see how that Judaism had filtered into our belief system. And God knew that if the trust of that revival was hinged upon the civilization that was building in the Jerusalem church, that revival was not going to pass beyond Jerusalem. It will not even be relevant to the heathen, to the Gentiles. Because you'll be insisting that a Gentile should come and circumcise. It's not consistent with this culture. And that thing that you are trying to pioneer is not Christ. Because you can be pioneering something that is not consistent with the outline on how the kingdom advances. If we want to advance kingdoms in the physical world, we set up governments. Alright? Set up an administration. But it happens to be that God's own model is different. It starts by conquering the heart of a man. That's a different model. Meanwhile, I want you to understand that what God is trying to implement is not a kingdom of kings and subjects. It's a kingdom of kings and kings. It's not a type of kingdom that you are used to. And the approach at establishing that kingdom is different from brute strength and manifestation of the flesh. Are you still with me? Okay. That was when Paul came back from Arabia. And God now saw. You see, do you realize that Paul had much more to say about the unclean people than Peter? Because he was not just a Pharisee. He was one of the privileged scholars that learned at the foot of Gamaliel. He was the Nobel laureate of theology at that time. So they check in a theological class, like in your class now. Then they pick the two brightest, the two best. Wonderful, open-minded, rhetorical, full of diction, that can convince like a lawyer. Then they now send them to Gamaliel. By the time he's done with them, when he stands before the Sanhedrin to bring a presentation, you will have to be careful to contribute because of the scholastic marks of his presentation. So he had more to glory, more to consider than Peter. But the issue was alignment. There was a disalignment that affected Peter. And then after Paul went to Arabia and came back, I don't know what God did to him. He was aligned and he could carry that commission. Now, at the end of Paul's ministry, there was a strange ability. You know, he himself testified, just like how the grace of God was so powerful in the life of Paul toward the Jews, converting the Jews, establishing them. He had the techniques, he had the skills. So, Peter's power was manifested in his ability to reach what? The Jews. Paul's power was revealed in his own ability to reach the Gentiles. He had so much skill, so much wisdom. Meanwhile, that was a new type of ministry. Nobody discipled him on how to engage the Gentiles. What was the source of his wisdom? Was power. Do you see that? So, in Paul's life, there was an evident manifestation, residue, a deposit of power that was manifested in his own field of mission. There was something he did. His ministry separated Judaism from Christianity, and it happened in one generation. Even Satan never thought it was that possible. Satan is not anti-religion. He will give you a lot of religion. He will give you religion to drink, religion to bathe with, religion to live by. He is anti-Christ, not anti-religion. So the moment Judaism infiltrated into our belief system, he knew that the lifespan, the shelf life of Christianity was already known. It took the hand of God to win a Pharisee from the pollution of that worldview to see the heavenly vision and ministry of the Christ tabernacled in the heavens. He came back a colossus. And that was why he was the one that had the authority to document two-thirds of New Testament theology. Are you with me? Now, this Paul I'm talking about, he was the one that spoke about communion. Meanwhile, there were people that were physically attended the communion service that had no authority from heaven to talk about it till they died. Paul was still an unbeliever when that... Are you with me? When the communion was served and when the 40 days lecture took place, Paul was still an unbeliever. What led to Paul's salvation was Stephen's death. You see, one thing about the anointing is this. If you kill an anointed man, his mantle will fall upon another person. In fact, the kingdom of darkness will lose because of that man's loss. And you realize that the Bible said the princes of this world had known, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. That was an error. And so it is with any anointed man that God allows to be killed. And he serves God in martyrdom. No, he will not die. A more radical person will carry his anointing. It doesn't matter whether that person is born again at that time or not. In Paul's case, it was Paul that was chosen to take Stephen's mantle. So that's why his own conversion was not by choice. It was by encounter. Are you still with me? We're trying to, before we start the lecture, just trying to come back first. Then we can now begin to set the coordinates. Are you still there? My question to you is, Is there any evident power on your life for kingdom advancement? If there's no evident power, then we need to stop this lecture and then go into the theology of power. What are the things that work against power? Hallelujah. Now, my target audience in the body of Christ, my target audience, the people that I'm anointed to reach are not old people. It's not as if an old person, a 95 years old, sits here, the person will not be blessed. Oh my God. The person will be blessed. However, I'm most anointed when I'm in my crucible. Because the Lord appeared to me. I mean appeared, not spoke. He appeared to me. Yes, I was in the Middle East when he came through the war and he commissioned me to go back and educate the youth of Nigeria. That if I do that successfully and faithfully, he will open the gates of many nations to me. That's what Jesus said. Right? So, if I see my generation, the thing, how it will work, don't worry. The anointing has his own abilities. So, if... Are you here? The anointing will give you a language that your target audience can understand. If there are young people in idolatry serving Satan in necromancy, once they are young, they will come out. Oh my God. They will come. We went to a village for crusade, but we came too early. Have you heard that kind of a story? You are going for crusade, you now discover you arrived too early. So we had to while away time. And the way to while away time was to visit the shrine or the village. Let's visit. People go to shrine, have you? We too want to visit the community shrine. It's supposed to be a place of a where people go in and out. So we went to the shrine of the community. People were entering and coming out, but when we now came, the man now said, "Why are you here? Did we say we came?" But people, he didn't ask anybody that question. When we now showed up, he now said, "You people, what happened? Why have you come to this place?" I said, We come in peace. He said, "We should we not come?" It's a good place. Then the man was not smiling. No. The man said, he wanted to threaten us, so we now clear this doubt. That if he lifts that hand again, that hand will be lifting, doing like this. If he lifts it again, I will cut the hand. The hand will wither. The man now, calm down. He calmed down. When he calmed down, he discovered that the demons that worked with him had left long time. He was the only one. He was alone. He was on his own. So if he had invoked something, it won't work. Hallelujah. And it came to pass that we led him to Christ, shut down his that is Ezemo stuff. As we were trying to lead him to Christ, some old men came there. There were 9 in number. Probably if they stand with him, he should be strong. But they came and he was still not empowered. So I led all of them to Christ. And all of that. You know, and that was how we started the crusade. We shut down the shrine. Yes. Because there are young people I need to catch. If they are inside the water, I will enter. And if I enter there, I may not even know what I'm going to do. But when I reach there, the investment will begin to bring wisdom. So the witches in the village did not know that the shrine had been shut down. That was a meeting we came for. And during praise and worship, all power belongs to Jesus. Without prayer, crippled people, 3 rose up. All power belongs. Because we had shut the mass. Meanwhile, the information I didn't add is that I was led to go to the shrine. Don't stand up from here and say, "Okay, there's one in Lugbe.
May the Lord give you understanding.
Three crippled people walked without prayer. In fact, when I was preaching, more started walking. That's when I was not praying for the sick. More started walking. And then it came to pass that the witches now noticed that these people, they tied them in the coven. How come they are walking? People whose wombs were in the coven, suddenly they fall down under power. When a word of knowledge comes and say, your womb is coming back, your womb is coming. You know what? The witches ran away from the crusade ground. That in their numbers, they were like 17. So we had to stop the crusade first. Then we ran and followed them. You know, that day, those things don't happen very often. So we stopped. Unbelievers, I want to give their life. Wait, first, wait. We now took off. They were heading for the highway. We finished with the witches on the highway. Thank God. I don't know what happened. Vehicles didn't come that night. So we had a clear road. Yes. All that I was doing was that there were young people in that village held under their power. If there is no evident manifestation of ability in your life, it means you have not understood the lecture. We can't advance this kingdom without ability. Now, I'm not talking about miracles. I'm talking about ability. Now, maybe in your own line of duty, are you with me? You might need miraculous ability to prosecute your kingdom mandate. But what I'm talking about is much more extensive than working miracles and giving words of knowledge. Because you can be doing words of knowledge and working miracles, and the summation of your ministry is not extending the frontiers of the kingdom of God. You can be running a circus with miracles. You can be running an entertainment industry with miracles, with signs and wonders. Yes, you can be doing that, especially if you are not aware of the content of the lecture. I think I'm just trying to balance a few things. So the fact that a man is very powerful doesn't mean he's building the kingdom. By the time we are done with the lecture, you will know what kingdom building and kingdom extension is all about. But first thing I want to establish is that you cannot do it without power. There must be an ability. An ability. So your ability to speak in tongues happens to be the only gift that God gives you that you can control by your will. Are you with me? Now, other gifts of the Spirit are controlled as the Spirit wills. But your ability to speak in tongues is the only gift that God gives that you can control by your will. And the reference I have for that is 1 Corinthians chapter 14. If you read it, you are going to find Paul saying, I will pray in the Spirit. I will pray in the Spirit. I will pray in my understanding also. So he decides how he wants to pray. He can decide to pray in tongues. He can decide to sing in tongues. That's his own decision. So you can control your ability to migrate, to transit, to transport in the Spirit. And all of that is captured in your ability to speak in tongues. You can decide when to speak in tongues. Now, the reason why speaking in tongues is the initial evidence that you have received the Holy Spirit is because speaking in tongues is the foundation. You need to exercise it lavishly in order for you to get into the realm of power. There are two baptisms that Jesus promises us. First of all, is a baptism in the Holy Ghost. The next one is the baptism of fire. One leads to the other one. You will notice that after Jesus was baptized in the Holy Spirit, he went into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Is that true? So the temptation that he was having in the wilderness, he didn't go to fast, he went to be tempted. He went to be tried. Okay? But in order for him to survive the trial, he now kept fasting and kept prayer schedules. Now that's baptism of fire. Where when God releases an investment in your life, he will call the devil to help him test it by bringing pressure on your life. If it is true that you know what you have received, you are not with me now. I've missed something. So are you here? Now, just in case, are you with me? If you see me teaching, preaching, all right?
my audience, they hear me more than any other in order for them to comprehend. If miracles need to take place, it is still part of the endowment to reach that audience. There should be a very strong evidence that there is a unique ability that you have received. If there is no unique ability in your life, you have not explored speaking in tongues enough to enter into the baptism of fire. When you are you here? So what God does is that when He releases an investment of the Spirit in your life, functional investment, I'm not talking about the regenerative investment of the Spirit that enlivens your spirit. I'm talking about a functional deposit, which is the deposit that brings you to the point where you can begin to speak in tongues. That functional deposit, when you have received it, you are supposed to exercise yourself by an act of your will. You won't feel like it, but your will has authority over the manifestation of that dimension of God's investment. When you begin to exercise it lavishly, and God knows that you have found that well, the next thing God will do is that He will allow challenges to come on your life. There are dimensions of God's reality you will never know outside of pain and travail. And the longer they travail, the better for you. Oh, and God will put you in a situation that you have no authority all over. And all kinds of hate, all kinds of things will break out. But if not for that situation, you will not go far with God. Jesus was led into the wilderness not to do part, to be tempted of the devil. I don't have time. Are you with me? Yeah, you are not with me. You have never been rejected before. Rejection is good. It's a good thing. If you have found God and evil things happen to you, you will run back to God. You will run back to your God in the day of trouble. Just in case you didn't end up with God and you went somewhere in the day of trouble, He's not your God yet. Then you deserve the wilderness. Remain there. But if you have a God, you will run back to God. It is in that state of rejection that you learn mastery. If there's no smear of rejection on your soul, you will not learn anything. You will not become powerful. So many of you were rejected and you took off like a tornado. You started making yourself the gospel. The things have been true. Did you ever hear Paul say the things he went through? There's so much talk about going through. Going what? Oh, it means you don't know what you receive. Because if Christ is really in you and you are awake to that reality, mortality and its attendant challenges is a light thing to bear. Light thing. God didn't see what to give us. He gave us a spirit. And you believe that your hunger is so strong that the investment God made is not sufficient. You lie. You know why I'm doing this work? I'm doing this work. We have not started it. And it's not everybody that you attend that lecture. Jesus took casually. Before we talk about apostolic foundation, first of all, let's talk about the people. Who are the people that want to receive the wisdom? Are we talking about the people that we ask, will you at this time restore my marriage? Huh? Will you at this time No. That's not. See, what you are not seeing is when you seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, then the things that the Gentiles seek will be added unto you. If you seek those your things and it's as if you had a breakthrough, you will think that it's legitimate for you to be seeking things. And mammon will possess your soul. There are many believers that are going nowhere. No. You can be on a massive field and say, they never did on this. You are going nowhere. If you want to start going somewhere, open your ears. God is not a money doubler. He's not a God that gives men false hope. And say, next week, something. Come on, wake up. And learn what it means to walk with God. Forget about next week.
and next week prophecy. I left that civilization long ago. Hallelujah. When I found the rock, just like when Anna found the rock, he said there is no other rock. Now, her pastor didn't say that to her. It was not her pastor that referred to God as rock. There were depths of revelation that came alive in the time of her travail. May your travail be long enough for it to push you. You get hedged into God that there's no other way out but the way God allows and the Kairos season from God's calendar. People that rejected me in the days of my rejection. Oh, when the Kairos moment in the calendar of God came, the first thing God did was that he decided to trust me with the prophetic anointing. That was the first thing he did. And then he wanted to watch how I will administer it. In the days of Obasanjo, are you with me? In this town, this Abuja. Okay, you will not believe, so let's leave it. Yes. I'm talking about 2004. If I wanted, I would have been one of the major PDP prophets, prophesying to, okay, you will win. You will lose. That's if I wanted. I went somewhere, it was Homestead Fellowship. And in the Homestead, a cripple in Asokoro. Are you with me? In Asokoro. You know, when they were still building the Tama, you know, those days Asokoro was the place. Right? So I went for Asokoro Homestead. And in the Homestead, they brought a cripple girl. So when the preacher finished preaching, he now said, bro, round up the prayer. I went to the cripple gate because Jesus spoke to me while I sat down. Are you still with me? So he was preaching, but I don't even remember anything they preached in that message because the Lord was troubling me. He said, stand up, go and raise that gate. I said, okay. See now, the preacher has not given me the authority. If I do it, yes, outside of God. He said, are you ready? If the opportunity. I said, you are God. If you touch him. And he said, as you round up, it means you are involved. So I threw the responsibility to him. And I finished discussing with him. Then they gave the floss. Come on. I didn't round up. I went straight to that girl. And when I went to that girl, I said, Jesus said, stand up. I raised her up. She fell down. I said, no. Jesus did not say what? Fall down. Jesus said what? She fell again. I said, no. I said, Jesus did not say fall down. He said, what? Then I saw that she put her hand so that if she fall, it will not be a bad fall. I kicked the chair and pushed her. She started walking. Are you with me? When that thing happened, PDP people were there. I mean the strong ones were there. They came that day. I don't know how they... That was the day. You would have seen me with white suits. See, in Abuja. The lady began to walk, the women started crying. So when I wanted to now do what they gave me the floor for, to round up, I now say, amen, nobody answered me, so I left. What are you rounding up when people are not responding? People are not responding. Are you with me? He gave me to see if I will sell it. And the highest bidders of the time were present. It was after a protracted wilderness experience that I learned how to pray and fast for 1 year. Have you fasted for 1 year before? Yes. The way I survived that time, what I did to survive was to fast for 1 year. Sometimes I ate in the night around 11 p.m. Sometimes I didn't eat at all. And I continued like that for 1 year, 4 months. So if you say fast now, it's a hobby. I dwell in it. If you say, okay, let's go this pipe. When you are dying in the fasting, that's where my strength is coming, gradually. Because I live by it. There are many tales of the wilderness that will never make the pulpit message. But in it is what makes kingdom men. Hallelujah. So most of you still speak in tongues. Some of us have more.
Huh?
We receive fire. And the Bible says that he maketh his angel spirit. That's the design for angels, is that there will be spirits localized in the spirit realm. But it's designed for his public servants. The word used there is messengers. That word is public servants, the ones that will stand for him among in the visible realm. Those ones, by design, he ordained that there will be what? Flames of fire. May you not live short of a flame. Because I've seen many church folks, pious, sanctimonious, sacramental, they are major targets of the devil, and every day they are looking for a miracle. It's because they have not yet adopted fire mode. Running around for miracle, I stopped doing that. Now we look for where the devil is and we shut him out of business. You have no ability to change anything if you don't move higher. And most of the time it's a trouble that will edge you in with God like that to receive another baptism. Another baptism that brings you into a different operating system. It brings you into fire. So when Jesus got baptized in the Holy Ghost, he went to see the devil. And after those 40 days, he came back. And the Bible says he came back with power. It is after the baptism of fire that you can be handed out power. Are you with me? And then when power comes, the fame of the anointing of Christ will spread abroad. See, in apostolic times, church, it was power that brought people, not hand people. Not a dress code, not customer care service. Customer care service. That we should wear white. All of us, let's wear white. They will come with all kinds of white. They will snap it, put it on Facebook. We are falling. We are falling. We are falling. Because if you bring 40 men that have experienced that fire, meanwhile, that fire is a proof that you are consecrated. You have offered yourself as a sacrifice, and God released fire to consume the sacrifice. So you are a living sacrifice. The fire that was released to consume you is burning inside of you while you are yet alive. It's a sign that you are not of this world. You belong to Jesus. And just in case they see you through a crystal ball or through a calabash, and they see you, you will not appear like this. You appear like a fire. Because that's your true identity in that frame of reference. There are several kinds of people you invoke into the crystal ball. The intensity of the fire is so bright that it blinds the one trying to see into that glory. Meanwhile, the person involved, the person in question, was somewhere in Lugwe, just doing his own thing. They were trying to, and then a reality that was not obvious in the natural rises. Because at that point, God will always rise to defend you, because you have the opportunity to deny God in your trial, and you decided to stick with it. I'm not preaching the gospel because there's a possibility that I will ride a car tomorrow. When we wanted a car, we didn't have one, so we died to all those passions and served God because it was worthy. In the villages, in the woods. Hallelujah. If you are in the crowd, you will not know God. God will orchestrate a situation that will make you stand alone for a season. Your own Arabian has been measured for you. Yes. And just in case you were knocked out, you are not the first. Don't make a case out of it. It is a proof that you have a mark. A mark from whence you can say, let no man else trouble me. Why? Because I have what? There are some levels of insulation you will never have against some demons and darkness until you begin to have marks for the right reasons. Hallelujah. So, it was not a union that Jesus wanted to set up You know, student union, there's crowd. It wasn't a union. In fact, there are principles in scripture for gathering. I don't have time to. I don't even know which one will touch, which one won't touch. What makes a gathering, a local expression of the body of Christ? What makes such a gathering? It depends on how you build it. And you know, when I say build, you think engineering. No, but I don't have time to go into all of that. What makes a gathering church? Because they stand praise and worship. We'll go into all of that. I assure you, we can't finish this week. Move that your Holy Ghost dimension. See, your pain, your lack, your affliction was not allowed because God doesn't love you. In fact, it is because God loves you. According to the kingdom order, it is only people that God loves that He allows chastisement to come upon. See, if your mind is not renewed, you cannot walk with God. If your mind is not renewed, you can't walk with. I was born with facial palsy. I've never closed this eye since I was born. This one. Never. So, why didn't I go around and say, God? In fact, when I prayed, God said, it will never be healed. It's what? You see, don't bother. Spend your prayers doing all that. I have seen the sovereignty of God. The God that will say, Moses, it's time to die. And Moses will plead with all of his stature. And it could not change. So when I accepted, I said, okay, I like myself like this. Let me tell you, I can't tell you my secret. Because he told me why he allowed it. Never close this eye. Sometimes you might see me wearing spectacles, sunshade. Say, Pastor, don't they do that? You are on your own. I'm wearing it to protect the eyes from dust. It has never affected the sense of my being because my security is in Christ Jesus. Not in the car I drive, or the office that I walk, or the kind of things I wear, or the gospel I preach. That's not where my security is. It's only a man that comes from Arabia that knows what is at the end of this covenant. If you have never seen it, you'll be afraid. If you have never seen it, you see somebody die, you will fear. Oh, I have no covenant with death. And I know it as a revelation. Hallelujah. You see, the average Christian is has more reasons to be afraid than to be in faith. Running from pillar to post. It's tomorrow morning, I will tell you why. Tomorrow morning, I did a research before I came here. So maybe I will read out the research tomorrow morning in the teaching service. Are you still with me? Alright, so come with me. All kinds of betrayal, all kinds of things happen, and God allowed it. If it is true that you know what He invested inside of you, that thing, call it. Because the template that God has ordained is that man is incomplete without the Spirit. Because the Bible says it is the Spirit that helpeth our what? In that Spirit, you will never know Him on your dining table. It is in affliction that you will know the kind of capacity He has. That furnace of affliction is what opens you into the baptism of fire. Men that will identify with God in the face of great opposition, He gives them a mark. That mark is the reason for which you will be insulated. When you call upon Him, He will answer. He doesn't answer everybody. Oh! No! No! I was coming from a crusade. And there was no means of transport. I had to enter a strange bus. Very strange. And you know, for those of us that are tall and you have long legs, there are some kind of seat you can't sit down. That was the exact kind of seat they gave me. I was, oh my God. the kind of sick that can cripple you, if you travel from Zaria to Onitsha, you come out good. That's that was where I was like this. And I was praying in the Holy Ghost. I forgot about the way I was praying, talking to God. And you know, God was gracious, and then he came to discuss with me. You know, sometimes he comes to discuss with you, and he says funny things like, I said, what? Are you the one that said this? Yeah. Oh, I learned more about God. All right? Much more than what the Sunday school teacher taught us. I walk with him. He's not a religious person, you know. Oh no. Hallelujah. So I was discussing with him in the bus, and then a woman by my side, her child died. What? And everybody was shouting. I didn't shout. I asked him, I said, so I'm in this bus, you allow someone to die. We were still gisting. And he said, she will leave again. I said, okay. Then I discovered why there was no bus and why I had to enter that bus. It's not about the pain on the leg. There is something that will give glory to God that is captured in the context. People that are full of self will only see their pain. They will not see that what they need to do for God to be glorified. May God win you from self. Win you. Be winged. For we seek the glory of God. Do you know that child came back to life in that book? And even unbelievers, it's not no takolo, but something was registered on the heart of them. I know places I've been to before. I prayed for the sick, and as I was going out, the person stood up. They were unbelievers. They didn't preach to anyone. Chronic unbelievers. Years later, I saw some of them. It was that miracle that made them to go and look for God by themselves. The baby came back to life. It is not about the pain. It is about the glory. And only men that have been to Arabia can focus on the glory in the midst of the pain. Not everybody qualifies to be in the 40-day lecture. And just in case there is no encounter in your life, just in case you've not been seeing God around, and you've been wondering why, it is because your new idol is self. I wasn't seeking a miracle. I never joined the prayer line hoping that somebody will lay hands on me and then maybe my face will realign. I was not looking for something for myself. I sought his kingdom. That's the orientation that he imbibed in the apostles. Seek ye first. What? The kingdom of God. You will never be able to fix all the troubles, all the pains, all the afflictions. You will never be. But you always have the choice to seek the kingdom. So I didn't care whether everything was fixed or not. But the marching orders from the king was what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And I began in my own little way to seek him out so that I can know him personally to secure his will for my life. That was my preoccupation. I was a classroom teacher, but that was my work. Alright? My job was something. It could be banking. It could be anything. But my work was to seek God. And as astronauts explore space, our duty is to explore God. When I found him, the things he said were different from what I was taught in Bible school, what I was taught in Sunday school. I found a different paradigm, a shift. In fact, I had to, go through a divine clinic to renew my mind, to believe what he was saying, because it was not consistent with what I was taught. That was where I made a vow. That even if I die in the process, I will be a teacher of truth and verity. Even if people get offended, I will show the way of the kingdom all my days as a pilgrim in this world. You will be short of yourself if you don't hear God personally. You might be sitting under a very good pastor, but there are several things that only Jesus can tell you, and you need to look for him. He came when he sent Ananias to Paul. There were a 3-point agenda in the revelation. You say, Brother Saul? Brother Paul, he was already Brother Paul then. He said, the Lord Jesus that appeared to you on the way to Damascus, he sent me to tell you that you will know his will. What life are you living outside of the knowledge of his will? Because what God is running is a kingdom. It's not a parliament. It's not a club. It's not an entertainment circus. The preacher is not a pastor. He's a herald. He's an echo of the real voice. Because the real voice is in the spirit. And he needs an ear, not ears. You have two physical ears, but one spiritual ear. The same Jesus that spoke in the book of Matthew, chapter 11, when he was talking about John the Baptist as Elijah, he said, he that has ears, let him hear. But when he went to the book of Revelation, same Jesus, he said, he that has an ear. He's a herald. And his heralding ministry will be limited by his ability to hear correctly. If he doesn't hear, what he's saying is a lie. So I needed to work on my receptacle. Your receptacle is the organ of four senses. It's on that place that the burden of the Lord will rest. And if you are not intelligent as a spiritual student, you will not go to seek the meaning of the burden that has rested upon your soul, the weight that lies there. Because it's a technology that is beyond human reasoning, and it's a communication that is beyond the frequency of your thought pattern. You will need to seek to understand what wills your heart like. Men of the kingdom, they have to leave self behind in search of glory. Hallelujah. I know if I tell you, because I'm anointed enough to say that for it to happen, that that is whether God speak to me or not, I have that honor. I can say in 2 months time, let there be a change in your finances. Alright? Most of you will say amen, and maybe the miracle will come and you come and share a testimony. That's not the best God has to give you, because you are already a joint heir. You have access to an economy. There is a currency that is stronger than the British pound. It's called riches in glory. You have access to that commonwealth, that facility. You are not a second class citizen in that kingdom. The pathways through which anybody can confer blessings upon you, they are open to you too. Why will you not be one of the people that will release blessings on your clan? We are a consumer generation. Consumer. But that's not the apostolic template. Because the kingdom is not a kingdom of kings and subjects. There are many churches you go to, you see a king, and then you see many subjects saying amen. That's not the prototype. Apostolic discipleship is gear that bringing everyone mature in Christ so that everyone can find his destiny. And then when we become mature, then the need for oversight becomes paramount. People can begin to manifest, navigate in their God-ordained callings with adequate oversight. When they encounter a challenge, then they now say, how are we going to handle it? You say, okay, go like this, go like that. All right, that's oversight. And you need to be growing. You need to have encountered what that person has encountered for you to tell him how to navigate out of it. That's how sons are led, through oversight. Because they know how to hear God. They know how to navigate with God to some extent. Do you understand what I'm talking about? It becomes a working, functional church in a territory that can do damage in any context, any sphere of human endeavor that you find them. But today we have a system that has sentenced people to a state of perpetual infancy in the spirit, because there is an administration set in place that is not designed to mature lives. And that is counterproductive. It's not consistent with the template. You are going to see the body of the template. Let's move further. Hallelujah.
I say hallelujah. Oh, you're angry already?
No, don't be angry yet. Be angry by tomorrow. When we enter tomorrow, if you're angry, you will be justified. Because the template of the covenant we are talking about was designed in a way that no flesh should glory. That is this template. The design, the modality, the model was set up in a way that no flesh will find occasion to glory. It's against flesh. Everything of the flesh has been delivered to the cross. And anything the cross touches dies. The cross doesn't have another language other than death. Anything you bring to it is it die. And the truth of the matter is that you cannot function effectively as a new creation if some things don't die. And I've seen a lot of, in the past 18 years in the body of Christ, so much of what we call faith preaching has excluded the cross. The teaching of the cross. Hallelujah. And if you remove the cross from Christianity, Christianity becomes a cult. That's why we need to see the tenets of apostolic doctrine. But let me show you apostolic culture first. Are you still with me? Oh, are you with me today? All right. Acts chapter 2. Are you there in Acts 2? I don't have time to show you 33, 30, 31, 32, 33 to 36. Would have laid the foundation, and it is difficult for me to do that because we don't have a projector today to make it easier for us to handle two scriptures at the same time. But God will help us in the name of Jesus. So I'm going to jump that for today. Maybe we'll we'll see how we can build it into tomorrow. But I want you to see apostolic culture. Verse 41. The Bible says, And they that gladly received his word were baptized. These are new converts. About 3,000 souls were added to the church. Now listen. You're not with me. Stay with me. Stay with me. Stay with me. On the day of Pentecost, we see that 120 people were the ones there. Abi, so 120 people were filled with the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 2, after Peter's preaching, the Bible says that 3,000 people were added to the church. In a political party, if we have 120 members, and all the people in my village, numbering 3,000, now join the party. Don't you think the chairman of the party will change? Because the guys that joined are more than the ones that were there before. So, there should be a shift of power. Oh, you are not with me. Somebody else should become the chairman from the popular side. But you know what? These guys had a culture that was so entrenched that the only possibility that existed after 3,000 joined them was that the 3,000 had to be like them. Now, so that's my question. What did they do? Because the assignment of the ecclesia, I told you before. Oh my. The word church, it's a governmental terminology. It was used before Jesus started using it. Are you with me? You see, when the Babylonians conquered territory, what they do is that they disarm the territory, and then they make the inhabitants of that territory to become slaves to Babylon. So they move them from their home country into Babylon. But when the Romans take a territory, They don't move anybody. Because Rome itself is very small. How many people can you bring into Rome? So, what they do is that they send the ecclesia. The ecclesia is normally a group of four men. One that is vast in Roman law and is made the pilot of the territory, in charge of justice, judgment, and equity. One that has attended school of strategic studies in governance, policy formulation, and administration becomes and becomes. It is the herald or the governor, the tetrarch. One that is skilled in the way of war, that has a track record in warfare, because it takes 5 years to train a legionnaire that knows how to use sword, shield, spear, the artillery, long-range weapons, and short-range combat. It takes 5 years to train a legionnaire. So training takes 5 years. You need another 5 years for you to become a centurion. Alright? And when you are a centurion, you are in charge of 100 soldiers. And then you need skill, exemplary skill in battle, that is beyond training, for you to eventually become a general. And you need to be a general for you to be chosen as a part of the ecclesia. Because you are going to ensure that there is law and order. About 3 men are sent into that new colony. The first thing they do is that they change your name. They say the name you had before was wrong. And then they give you a Roman name. Draconitis. And they will call you until you forget your original name from your village. Then they judge you according to Roman law. It will stay. Alright. So anybody that lives and dies according to Roman law, you will know why according to the law. So you begin to think like a Roman. Those guys, what they are gradually doing is to deculturize the populace, to make that colony Rome. Those 3 people, they are the ecclesia. So when Jesus called us the ecclesia, it means that our assignment is to deculturize our generation. How well have we fared in this business? we are just playing music. Meanwhile, church is supposed to be government. Technocrats that have been weaved by the grace and the wisdom of God multiply the influence of God in a particular territory, that the worship of idols they ceased, not because there was a fight. Today we run cliques and clubs, impotent unions that can't take territories. And our nation is conceded to the enemy. Our constitution has, in 38 places, it shows that we are a nation of the bondwoman. 38 places of our constitution. 39 times the sons of the bondwoman were mentioned. The sons of light were never mentioned in that constitution. So, if you are not aware, our constitution is of the bondwoman. How many of you have you tried getting a U.S. visa recently? Anybody here? Were you given? You are not likely to be given. Because our name has entered the list of the nations of the bondwoman. And these things did not happen in the night. They happened. Are you with me? Our land has been conceded to the enemy. It will take more than cheap talk and propaganda to bring redemption. Are you seeing what I'm saying? No, it will take more than that. It will take more than the customer care systems that we have set up in different locations. And that's why we need to go back to the 40-day lecture and find out How did Jesus expect them to take over Jerusalem? Because that is the home of hostility. Why didn't he start in Samaria with a few miracles? Did you see what happened when Philip went to Samaria? It was mass revival. It would have been easier to pitch the tent there, the headquarters there. He said, you will begin from where? There are many, many generations of high priests and rabbis that have stayed in that land. Then you want to begin a movement that will overturn the heritage of about 3,000 years of Judaism. How do you do that? How do you conquer that kind of limitation? Why did they start in Samaria? They would have more ground. He said, you begin where? In the eyes of Jesus, with the investment of the Holy Spirit, there was no territory that we could not colonize. And Jerusalem was supposed to be a case study. A case study. And just in case anybody questions intellectually the resurrection of Jesus, the evidence to show that he rose indeed was that there were Jews that converted. You don't convert a Jew. It's a Jew that converts you. You become a proselyte. For a Jew to convert, Jews were converted. Something more powerful than the Torah was at work. It was an act of the sovereign God. People that saw the evidence of his resurrection knew that this was an immortal that walked among us. For on him death had no power. That's why our claims are valid. The enablement is spiritual. How come we are caged like birds, caged in a cage? It is because we lack power. And this thing we are talking about, the apostolic template, cannot work outside of power and ability. Spirit, energized ability. Now, you, how many of you were here during the praise and worship? Only few praise and worship singers sing. You know, I'm a king going the spirit. Oh, I don't look like one of you. Don't worry. In the spirit, I'm a king. And one of the ways I can touch the crown I wear is when real spirit born praise and worship, I touch it. I feel the crown. You need to be called by the monarch for you to have grace to minister like that, the way she ministered to you. You must have a calling along that path. That's one of the ways he had created her to give him glory. There must be an ability on your life that is not natural, supernatural. It is with that cutting edge that you will do damage to the kingdom of God. If there is no such endowment visibly available dimension of power, it means you excluded yourself from the second baptism. Because after Jesus went through the wilderness, survived the temptation, Bible says he came back with the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't have time. How are we going to do this? Let me take you on a journey. I know I said it should open to what? Acts chapter 2. I know I said that. So can you see that 3,000 people joined 120 people, and the 3,000 people could not influence 120 people because the 120 people had an identity. So it doesn't matter how many people joined them. The identity was so strong, it has spiritual roots. No, you can't shift. They can't shift ground. They became pivots to a move. And people were added to their numbers and became like them because they had an identity. Are you with me? Now, let me digress. I'll come back to Acts chapter 2, okay? Are you there? Oh, we are still on track. Don't worry. Don't go anywhere. Remain there. So 3,000 guys join 120 guys. And 120 people influence 3,000 people. Why? Because they had the culture. And you see the culture? The apostolic culture. In the book of Acts chapter 2. From verse 42. Oh, my time is up. Okay, we'll stop there. We'll stop there for now. Acts chapter 2. From verse what? 42. And what does it say? And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. So that's what I wanted to do this evening. The apostles' doctrine. The content of their doctrine is my own body for this conference. They continued steadfastly. Do you realize that apostles is in plural, doctrine is singular? Is that what is in your Bible? Have you ever checked? Have you done serious Bible study? You find out that doctrine is never plural. The apostles, it's apostles that's plural. Doctrine is what? Now in the book of Hebrews chapter 6, the Bible talks about the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Principles is what? Plural. Doctrine is what? Every time doctrine is plural, it's either of devils or of men. So, sorry to shock you, but there's only one doctrine. I know you think they are doctrines. There's just one doctrine. And amen. And according to the scriptures in the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 1, the Bible says the former treatise, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. See, doctrine is, first of all, a lifestyle. You realize that Jesus never did any miracle, never preached no message, before he was accredited in John the Baptist's baptismal service. This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Was it his ministry he was pleased about? Was his living? His living was accurate. 30 years of accurate, heaven-aligned living that God came from heaven to accredit. It was upon that heaven-aligned lifestyle that doctrine came from. If you live accurately, you can testify about your experience. Your experience becomes your teaching. Anything you have experienced, you can become an authority on that matter. But if you are talking about what you have not experienced, even you yourself will contradict yourself. When you find a preacher contradicting himself, he doesn't have experience in the matters that he wants to teach. Because doctrine is supposed to be an offshoot of what? Of lifestyle. So if you are living wrong, it means you believe wrong. And if you believe wrong, it means you will live wrong. Because the root of doctrine is lifestyle. One of the greatest onslaughts we've had in 2018 was the rise of the grace movement. Because Satan knows that if you believe wrong, you will live wrong. Right? Oh, you are not with me. So the grace preacher makes you to think that if a believer cannot sin away his righteousness. It doesn't matter how much sin he finds himself in, he's still righteous. God doesn't love him less. Glory. Is it because we don't study the apostolic teaching? And our Magna Carta, the charter of our Magna Carta is the book of Romans. That's where our belief system was well grounded and structured. Everybody must have a master's degree. Every believer of this time must have a master's degree in the book of Romans. That's the premise upon which our living derives, and the legal premise that supports our belief system. How I wish we can do a weekend on Romans.
Just Romans. Just Romans. Then we see the 12 points on the path of spiritual progress. Romans is not a message, it's a map. It's a navigation map.
When you, if you start studying the Bible with the Spirit of God, you will find out we are playing in the church of our time. We are holding good meetings. That's what we have power to do. But the apostles had power to dethrone a Caesar. Oh, you are not aware of what happened in the book of Acts chapter 12? They had come to a point where it was government that was fighting them. You know, before when they started, no government. Oh, you are not seeing the progression? I will show you how to build. I will show you the lifestyle. If you want angelic encounters, I have found a formula in Acts of the Apostles. There's a life they lived. And that life they lived was in the 40-day lecture that they got it. No. There was a life they lived. Those were the days where a normal brother will be doing his morning devotion and Jesus will come and appear to him and say, there's one soul. I just knocked him down. But he's still confused, doesn't know what's happening to him. He thinks he's dreaming, but I took away his sight. Go and pray for him. It will look like as if a miracle has happened. So he will believe you. Then tell him this. So guys were, they had bountiful morning devotion that Jesus appears to them. If you have not seen him, you are wrong. You are wrong. You are wrong. In their morning devotion, how did they structure their life? I found it in the Bible. I found it. And these things I'm telling you, I have practiced it for more than 10 years. Before I'm coming to teach now. If we start praying now, and there are three people in this hall that are touching God, my own vista will open. If you are not tired, you can stay here. Eh? I will tell you what is going on in heaven. And you will see manifestations in Abuja as I'm talking. So, this, I'm telling you things I have practiced by God's grace and by His mercy. Hallelujah. I receive grace from the Lord to be trustworthy. Somebody doing morning devotion, Jesus comes to him, gives him instructions, or you go. That guy, that was not the first time he was seeing Jesus. He was comported. He was comported. He was articulated. Many of you, when you encounter God, your brain is suspended. You don't, the question you wanted to ask God, you will remember. Again. Oh, it means you are still new. You are still, you didn't remember. When he left, you now say, change, why are not talking? You are new in the business. Ananias was an old man in dealing with the corridors of his appearance. We don't have the backing of the Lord. How can we conquer the land? Everything now, the bond woman takes over. So that the pressure can be intense for us to go back to the apostolic culture. The entire pressure that is coming on us is to take us back to the culture we have forgotten. And we go as far as China to learn customer care service. And we know how to hold events. The lights, you tamper it. You measure it. So you look. Somebody went somewhere in this city. He said, close his eye. When he opened his eye, he saw the lights. He thought he was in heaven. You see, he's even poor in psychology. He's quite poor. I'm ashamed. Kai! Ananias, how did he do that? He went to Saul. And you know, the Bible never mentioned his name after that episode. Oh, I will show you in the book of Acts, men that were running prayer cell system. Nobody knew them. Agabus. They were running a prayer cell in Jerusalem. Peter did not know them. The other guys that were guys of repute, people that sat in council to analyze doctrine, didn't know them until crisis came. When crisis came, people began to move from Jerusalem. That was when the Bible recorded that Agabus and his team, his prayer team, they began to migrate. It was not the crisis that made them move. It was God that spoke to them. So if you were a reporter and you see people moving,
You say, oh, the crisis, even as I was doing, is moving. You will not know that his own movement was occasioned by a voice. It was Agabus and his prayer group that went to meet Paul and Barnabas in Antioch that started another apostolic center. That movement was started. They never knew that God was moving his resources. He wanted to start a new base, a launching pad, a new center, a new technology that was different from the frustrating technology that was obtainable in Jerusalem. See, wake up. In the next 5 years, what you celebrate today, the next 5 years, Ichabod, the glory, you will see it, because the Lord is setting up a new center, just like he set up Antioch. People that want to go back to the basics of those things that Jesus taught in 40 days, and to begin to see the replication of apostolic culture. Apostolic culture is what you see in Acts chapter 2 verse 42. The Bible says that they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in breaking up bread from house to house, in what? Fellowship, and what? Prayer. So those days, if you were one of the 3,000 that got born again and joined their numbers, you met a praying people. In fact, one of the ways by which Jesus told Ananias, you identify Saul, say, go to that house, you will meet. So many people are walking around, but Saul is praying. How I wish Jesus would know that you will be praying. Heaven knows that, yes, so many people will be gisting around, but there's this guy, you will find him, what? So even when Paul came, he was just 3 years, 3 days old in the fold. He knew that what they do is what? That's what they do. When you have a small child and the child begins to grow in the camp, at the age of 12, he knows that we have no choice but to. That's a part of the culture. Just like in the village, they give you a mark to say you are the son of Ohimini. Eh? And then they give you a mark and give you a talisman that you have been initiated into the secret court of the Ohimini people. The way we initiate you in our own context, you can't escape prayer. I don't know what you drove here. Maybe you drove a Matrix, Toyota Matrix. You drove a Benz. It's immaterial. What the Bible says was that Jesus was driven by the Spirit. What drives you is what matters. It is when you now sustain prayer as a culture that you can know how God moves men. How he moves men. As a strategist playing chess, he moves men. Oh, God is more strategic than the best student of war college. He knows who to move here. How to move that sister there. Move this brother here. He's up trying to orchestrate an operation. An operation, a commotion that will collapse everything that existed in the territory until Christ is seen. He said the mountains of Bashan, they shall be made low. The oaks of Lebanon, they shall be hewn down. Oh my, the valleys shall be elevated. And only the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. All the noise will go down. Even in your life, he will shake it and shake it and shake it until his purpose in your life comes to become the preeminent pursuit of your soul. Then he will show you great and mighty things that you have never known. I will not serve this world, this age. I will not serve flesh. I will not serve Satan. I am in the service of God. I don't care what you lost. There's so much that you can gain. And let us move higher. The devil can shake anything just to ensure that your call never comes into view. He can cause you so much pain that will pierce the depth of your soul, and you feel that all you should live for is mourning. I threw away my garment of mourning. I threw away the heaviness of my soul, and I've ever since I move with a garment of praise, because the more I see him, the more glory he sheds, the more I count myself privileged to be in his service. Oh my God, I will not spend another day in religion.
I'll not spend another day in organized human religion, because there's so much of reality locked up in the Holy Ghost that God has ordained for us. I will reach out to the best of God. It's time for you to rise out of that dunghill. Rise out of that place that the enemy has placed you, and say, no, a spirit is involved in my life. A spirit is involved. 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 My loved ones that left me alone, thank God I let you. It's an opportunity for you to connect with God. There is nothing in this world that can compare with what we have with Him. I lost my job. I lost my job. I cannot pay my bills. Oh, thank God you lost your job. But now that you lost your job, it's so that you can gain Him. You can gain Him. You can gain Him. You can gain Him. A spirit is involved. A spirit is involved. A spirit is involved with your life. A spirit is involved with your life. God will first cause you to seek His kingdom. When you have found His kingdom and you know your purpose in the kingdom, what you live for, then He causes resources, He causes finances to navigate in your life. What you need to prosecute your divine calling, your divine destiny, He begins to navigate in your life. And we will rise in your name, Adonai. You reign on earth, and Adonai, you reign on earth, and Adonai, you reign on earth, and we will. You reign on high. You reign on high.
reign on high. You reign on high. You reign on high. Presto fete, presto fanela chiamo, traisce sasada tarantela, ramite patu alla passaco, planteste venasi mantan. Rabon sapete cabatato cama, presico pali masanda. Raiko sema, barasko pramina kombe, presko fatala masika ma. You reign on high, 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 you reign on high. 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 You reign on high.
Jesus' name.
There was a knowledge that Paul had. He called it the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. And in order for him to get that knowledge, he suffered loss of many things. Whenever the devil sees that you are bound to apprehend this reality, it can cause your life to become turbulent against any fault line. One of the fault lines available can be marriage. It can fracture it. Just to make sure that you set your gaze on something else and not reach out for the excellency of God. Friends, you didn't come here to marry. That's not why you're here. But the devil can make it so strategic that you will not be able to see anything apart from it. Men that gained mastery in the kingdom had to allow many questions to be unanswered so that they could lay hold on the excellent knowledge. Where is Pastor Victor? Okay, it's not around. God will not answer all your questions. He will not settle all the controversies. But kingdom men, in spite of the controversies, they will reach out to God. Because the arrangement is seek ye first. He's aware that there are those challenges. He's aware. If you want permanent solutions, I'm telling you, you don't need a miracle man. It's not by the hand of a miracle man, by decision to seek ye first. And that doesn't mean we don't believe in miracles. Tomorrow night will be the miracle night. Tomorrow. I'm ready for you tomorrow. Yes, I'm ready. I'm ready to come. It's not as if we don't believe in miracles. But God has more than miracles to give you. He has himself to offer you. So whereas we move in the power of God, move in the anointing of God, that's not the end. That's not why we gather. Because there are many among us that if they don't rise, there are several communities that will dwell in darkness forever. There's something beyond you that is at stake. And God will not mind if you have to lose one hand to fulfill that destiny. Oh, I want your hearts to become rugged. A kingdom man must be rugged. I'm not living for this mundane world. Whether I ride a car or not doesn't add to the sense of my being. No! That's not where my security lies. It lies in my knowledge of Christ. There is something I have with him. Peter said, silver and gold I do not have. That doesn't affect my motive. Because there's something I have. I have that thing in partnership with God. Such as I have, I give you. I can spend from that my covenant, I can spend from. And I choose to spend today. So such as I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up. That's the first time a man wants to do a miracle, to walk a miracle. He didn't say, look on God. He said, look to Jesus. He said, look on us. I have something. Hola me. Oh, there are realms in God. When we teach the gifts of the Spirit, we normally tell people it happens as God wills. That's for class 1. Class 2, silver and gold, I do not have. But such as I have, there is a level to which you grow. By God's mercy, I've reached there a little. I can influence tomorrow. I can influence my gifts. If I want to know about you, I will know. If I want to know, it's not that God wants to show me. I want to know. That I won't leave here. The anointing will drop on you. I will see you. Because a time comes when an anointing becomes a mantle. You wear it. You wear it. You have it. You have it. But the reason why there's an anointed man in our midst is not so that he can become a star, a second director.
is to show you what you have capacity to become in Christ Jesus, and to teach you the secrets on the corridor of the hidden places, so that your horn can be exalted like the horn of a unicorn. Oh, you may not know, I'm not a full-time minister, I'm a civil servant. I saw more demons in our office than to save. I fasted. Oh, you have not heard my story. I fasted to go to work for 1 year. 1 year. Eh? 1 year. Because there were altars in the office. There were official chairs that were jinxed. You know someone to know? You need power. Who told you that it's for crusade that you need power? Jesus evaluated the Christian life and he said, ye shall receive power. Oh, when you see the things that bind families, bind men, bring delay, the people that did it, they know it will work. You understand? That is the more he knows that thing will work. That's why he will not follow you. Because this one, he doesn't know your own, but this one, it will work. Our own too need to work. You understand? He needs to work. Because our God is not dead. I believe in miracles. But I believe that many of your prayer points will end if you mature a little more in God. Your vista will change. The prayer point is, Lord, I don't mind the pain. I don't mind the affliction. He said the light affliction, which is what? For a moment. Our light affliction. I don't mind the affliction. But I'm going for the excellency of that knowledge. There is a paradigm of knowledge that each and every one of us must access at this time that makes you to understand several secrets that will make several things respond to you. Dominion is part of the mandate. Dominion. Dominion. Hallelujah. If, like me, you are saying, I don't mind the pain, I'm going to go through it until I lay hold on that which you are offering, then you want to ask God for grace right now. Ask Him for grace. I don't mind the pain. I don't mind the process. I don't mind what you have set me in. But I know there's something beyond my prayer point that you will give me. Because, oh my God, far beyond my prayer point. You have a plan beyond my prayer point. A plan beyond my plan. A strategy beyond my wisdom is at work. So I don't mind the pain. 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 I don't mind. I don't mind the pain. I don't mind the pain. If my family, my entire family will be delivered from idolatry, I don't mind the pain. I don't mind standing in the gap and taking all the heat. I see the kingdom in peace. I see the kingdom. I don't mind the affliction. If through it life will have come, I see the kingdom of this. We hunger and thirst for you in a dry and weary land. All we want is you. All we want is
Thank you, Jesus. Ela masai na tola masekole hato. Salaman salaman. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. A lot of us.